So we have two Bible readings this morning, and both come from the Message version, which I think Rolly will tell you and nails what he wants to tell you. The first one is from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 to 21, and it's getting God's word deep inside us and talking about them with your children. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and your foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts and gates of your cities so that you will live a long time and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give our ancestors for as long as there is sky over the earth. The second reading is from Colossians 3, verse 16 to 17. And this is entitled, Letting the Word of Christ Have the Run of the House. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we pray an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this word, Lord, that this word would get into us, this word would change us, this word would shape us as your people, this word would move us to share the good things you have in store with us with all generations. Amen. Amen. Right, today's theme, God talk in all its forms. And one of the key things about faith and passing on is this. Faith is passed on and nurtured through trusted personal relationships. I mean, probably one person out of 1,000 or maybe 10,000 gets a God drop from heaven or some revelation that changes their life forever. St. Paul would be a classic example. But by far and most prevalent is the fact that some people loved you. Some people took an interest in you. Some people actually shared the good things of God and helped you get to know Jesus at some point in your life. Yes? And I bet there's been people along your journey who have encouraged you in that, yes? Yeah. So this journey we're on, we want to learn how to speak the language of faith and hope and love more naturally in our households and in our relationships. And we're looking at four keys. The first key was last week, caring conversations. We did an exercise, remember, where we shared a high and low and then we prayed for each other. And none of us died. In fact, when we do that, there's something special that happens because it connects hearts. And once hearts are connected, there's some holy ground that opens up. Holy ground that might be ready for a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of God, or some words of prayer. And when we bring God into the situation to people, then lives change. Amen. Today we're looking at the second of our four keys, God talk in all its forms. In other words, devotions without the yawn factor. Now, I wonder what your experiences have been with devotions. Mine have been very mixed throughout my life, but I'd like you to share some of your stories, and I've got a couple questions. What forms of God talk or devotions did you experience growing up? And what forms of God talk have you tried in your own households? I invite you to share your experiences with a friendly person near where you are. Okay, we might. If you're just getting into second gear, please resume this conversation afterwards. I think, regardless of our past experience, and my family of origin, it was all sometimes when we were real little, we used to have these Bible story books, and that was pretty good because they had pictures, so they'd have a little story in the pictures. But there were times where that petered out, and then every now and then we'd get a devotion book that would be read out, and when you're a kid, it's sort of like that was the yawn factor. Like, there was no discussion, it was read out. But I reckon for a lot of it, Dad wanted to watch the news while we were eating dinner, so we couldn't chat over the dinner table, which when I look back, it drives, anyway, still makes me a bit cranky, because I'm thinking, the time when we all get together and you want to watch the news, anyway, let's don't go down there. He probably needed a break. But then, yeah, very hit and miss. Mostly miss. But regardless of our past experiences, and we can't change that, can we? There are past experiences, good and bad, good or bad. To be healthy followers of Jesus, the simple fact is we need to keep feeding our hearts and minds on the Word of God and talking about, well, what does this mean for us and our lives together, yes? That's what healthy followers of Jesus do. So why spend time together in the Word? A lot of people go, well, what do I need to do that for? Well, simple. You think about the culture we live in 24/7, yeah? And the culture soaks into us whether we like it or not. And the culture is always bombarding us with messages promoting life without God. We live in a secular culture. The secular culture is never going to talk about the things of God ever. And if that's all we're listening to, and if that's all we're talking about, then God has been taken out of the center of our lives together and put on the shelf. It's been displaced. And when we lose sight of God and His love for us in Jesus, well, then it's really not, doesn't take long before we forget who and whose we are. And then we try to justify our existence or try to establish our security through our performance or our outer image. And where does that end up? Well, simple truth is, when we're disconnected from the source of our life and health and everything else and every blessing, when we cut ourselves off from that, we end up empty, we end up exhausted, and we end up spiritually dead. No spiritual life in us. That's where we end up. And friends, I submit to you as God's people, we need to get God out of the bookcase or off the shelf and let Him take center stage in our hearts and lives together as His people. Amen? Whether it's in a household or family or small group or congregation or ministry team or prayer group, God needs to be the center of all we're on about as His people. And I love how in that Colossians message before, can we have that come up, please? I just love this. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using God's good common sense and sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Isn't that strong? It sounds like fun, doesn't it? It sounds vital. It sounds vibrant. It sounds life-sustaining. So we come to the whole thing about God talk in all its forms or devotions. And here's a definition. A devotional life is a way to practice the presence of God through the Word of God. It includes gathering around the stories of God's love and grace, both in the Bible and in our daily lives. It is God talk in all manner of forms. Next slide, please. In a world that speaks and operates on a different basis than the good news of Jesus, God talk in all its forms can connect people across generations with faith, hope, and love. Yes? I just love that. So, this God talk, when did this kick off? Well, it goes back about 3,500 years. God talk 101 God had rescued his people from Egypt. He brought them into a covenant relationship with himself. And he says, well, I'm going to be your God. I'm going to bless your socks off. But I want you to do life with me. Because if you don't do life with me, I can't bless you. And then God told Moses to give the people of Israel these instructions. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall in bed at night. So my question is, well, why does God tell us to get these words deep inside us? Why does God tell us that? What's the point of that? It's spiritual food. It's words of life. It's words of blessing. It's words of promise that shape our hearts, yes? And when our hearts are shaped, what comes out of our hearts is our words and actions. Our outer life reflects the things that are going on inside us. As Jesus said, out of the hearts, the mouth speaks. A life without hearing or heeding God's word lacks God's promises, God's power, and God's purpose. Okay, well, what's with the instruction? Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. What's that about? Well, what happened to the picture? Is there a picture with that? No, no picture? Oh, they must have got the earlier version. All right. You see, when Jewish men are praying, you might have seen pictures of this, but sometimes they have little black boxes tied on their wrist or on their arm up here and on their foreheads. Does anybody know the technical name for that? Phylacteries. Well done, phylacteries. And they're actually living out this commandment. So when they go to prayer, once a kid goes through his bar mitzvah, when a Jewish male prays, he ties the scripture to himself and then he has his prayer time. What's the point? It's a visual reminder and an awareness of God's presence in their life, and it's a submitting to the word of God in all their life. Now, I'm not suggesting we get little boxes and tie them to ourselves and walk down the streets. That's a bit crazy. But just the remembering, oh, hang on. Today I'm going to be aware of God, and I'm going to be mindful that he's with me. And I'm going to surrender to whatever he wants for me in my life today, because Jesus is the boss of me, nothing else is. Amen? And when we live that out and model it, our kids get to see that. All right. So where should we talk about the words of God? Where should we do that? Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Oh, well, that's pretty much anywhere, isn't it? It's grasping the opportunities of everyday life to weave God's promises and God's presence into the fabric of life. It's seeing God's hand in all of life, not just when we're gathered together for an hour or two on Sunday mornings or at a Bible study an hour or two a week. All of life comes under the rule of God. And this needs to happen with a sense of joy, not drudgery. Oh, no, not a devotion again. Oh, no. We get to do this. Let's press into the good things of God so he can bless us. See? Different attitude. So when's the right time to talk with God or do God talk? Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Any time or all the time is the right time to bring God in. Okay. And what's the purpose? So that you'll live a long time and your children with you, on the soil God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is sky over the earth. You remember this promise of the promised land? That all may go well with you in the promised land. Friends, God wants us to live in his promises so we can fulfill and come into the destiny that's on his heart for our lives together. Amen? All right. Deuteronomy 11, we see that it's always been on God's heart to share and nurture the faith with the next generations. It's not just a recent thing. For the people of God, talking about the good things of God is everything we do in life. It's to fulfill our lives. It's a way of life. Now, there's no single way of having a home devotion. But I think a couple things are really important. Of course, I think it will center in God's word, and especially the word made flesh in Jesus. Looking to Jesus, what does it mean to follow him and be his people? It can include discussion, prayer, singing, activities, silence, perhaps lighting a candle, folding hands, using actions with a song, or any of the following suggestions. Now, I'm going to run through these really quick. I'm not telling you you've got to do all these. This is just like a menu, all right? So let's go. Number one, prayer before or after meals. Marianne, when she grew up, she wasn't in a Christian house. The parents used to send the kids to Sunday school so they could have peace on the Sunday mornings. But when her grandmother came to visit, before they ate, the dad would hold up his hands like that, and your grandmother would pray a blessing over the food. It's acknowledging the food that's before us, the people around us, and the blessing God pours into our lives. And mealtime prayers are also an opportunity to pray for the struggles we have as a family or for other people and their struggles. Number two, Bible stories for various ages. Having a child on a lap and reading a story. Oh, that's gold. A Bible story with pictures. It's a great foundation for the rest of their lives. Number three, using a devotional book or resource that's age-appropriate. For some time, Georgie has been including links to resources in Grow Ministries in our weekly news there. And it's got some things you can do in the Word and some little activities that are age-appropriate. A kid's devotion is probably not going to satisfy a mature adult, but working out what's going to encourage the next generations. Number four, the LCA website has short devotions for every day of the year. If you go on it and type in the word devotions, you can have access to those and print them out. Number five, sharing a verse or a passage of scripture together. Just read it out and then you ask three questions. Number one, is there anything in this passage that jumps out at you? Number two, is there anything in this passage that you have a question about? And number three, what do you reckon God wants us to get from this? Those three questions can apply to any Bible study at any time or around a table in a home devotion. They are excellent questions that will get you into the Word. Next, singing songs. One of my youngest memories as a kid, I was probably four or something like that, my mum playing a treadle organ and teaching us that Jesus loves me, this I know. And you know what? The things you learn as a little kid, you can remember for the rest of your life. And you know what? When I'm troubled, I still recount the words of Jesus loves me, this I know, and it encourages me. Next, praying at the beginning or the end of the day, perhaps on the way to school or work or at the start of a trip or when reaching your destination, praying for God to watch over and protect us as his kids. When Leanne sends the kids off in the morning, she says, oh, God bless you today, God watch over you, God give you favour. Leanne does that with our kids every single day as they go out into the world. And when we have our table prayers in the evening, we thank God for watching over us today and bringing us home safe again. Popcorn prayers. Popcorn prayers it's really simple. Each person takes it in turn. Thank you, God, for dot, dot, dot. Pop. Next person, thank you, God, for dot, pop. All right. Next one, number nine, pointing out the beauty in God's creation. Is there things to marvel at in God's creation? Absolutely. Yeah, whether it's looking over a green valley, whether it's up in the Barossa looking over the vines, at the beach, contemplating the ocean, sitting around a campfire and looking at the stars at night, there's beauty and majesty and grandeur in God's creation. It's good to share those things when we're out together. What did you notice in God's creation today? And perhaps to say, as a family, God, we love your work. Next one, listening to the Bible, Christian teaching or Christian music as you drive. Well, it's often dead space when you're driving. Well, why not have some good stuff getting into you while you're driving on a journey or on a trip or just to work and back? It's amazing how it calms you particularly when the traffic's a bit gnarly. Next one. Saying sorry and sharing forgiveness when we've hurt one another. Oh, gee, I wish I'd seen that in my own family of origin a bit more often. Yeah? When things have got a bit bent out of shape. Just to acknowledge that and say, oh, I was out of line today and I said some things that were harsh and hurt you. I'm sorry about that. Would you please forgive me? When kids see that happening, and when kids have adults apologising to them, wow, that's powerful. It's living out the gospel, isn't it? Kids need to see that and experience that in us. Next, sharing stories of what God's been doing in our lives. They're praise point time. You know, what are some things we give praise for? But it might be also, oh, here's a prayer I've been praying. And you know what? I've been praying this for a while and God's answered it. This year I've been writing answers to prayers down in my journal, and in the first month I had a list, you know. I'm going, wow, God's been answering some prayers and it encouraged me to keep praying. It might be sharing a sense of God's peace or a sense of God's joy during a trial in life. Talk about those things because these are the things God wants his kids all to have. Yes? Next one. Being open about how doing life with Jesus impacts our daily life. For example, when we go to our work, what sort of job does Jesus want us to do when we're at work? A sloppy job or a good job? Yeah, I think we've got to, it's about honouring God, worshipping God and giving our best. And why do we do it? Is it to get a big head? To puff ourselves up with pride? No. It's about using our gifts to bless and serve the people around us. See, the whole ethics about work. The whole ethics about courteous driving on the road. Things of being respectful and mindful of other people. Manners. Whew. You've got some manners, you will stand out like light in a dark world. Just basic manners and courtesy. Being honest, telling the truth, not defrauding your workplace, things like that. Posters, banners or decorations or scripture passages around the house. It's interesting, Deuteronomy, it says, inscribe them on your doorposts. The words of God on your doorposts. Hey, I don't think we should be ashamed of having Bible texts around or posters or banners or things like that in our homes because it reminds us of God's promises. And we've got to get over the fear factor of when people come in and go, well, this is a promise of God that encourages me. Modelling what it looks like to dwell in God's word. Do our young people see us as adults, parents, grandparents, mentors? Do they know that we actually have a regular thing where we get into the word of God? Do they see us living it out? Do they see us talking about it? Do they see it modelled? If they recognise Jesus in you and me, it's because the word of God's doing something in and through us by the power of the Spirit. And last thing, resources. Well, where can I find resources? Well, anywhere. A church library's got a heap of good books, DVDs. It's got activity packs for families to use. It's got a whole heap of things in there. Ask other Christian people who are in your season of life if they've found anything helpful. Grow Ministries has a website which has lots of different resources that are available, and Christian bookshops. Coorong's got a heap of stuff. You can go online and shop for things. All right. A lot of information there, but these are just suggestions, a smorgasbord of things you could pick and choose from. What I'd suggest is, well, take one or two of these things and try them out. The point of all this is that we're letting God be personally involved in our lives, and we're getting over the embarrassment factor of ever bringing up the good things of God. It's recognising that God is with us and that in Jesus God is always wanting to do us good. It's keeping God in the centre of our everyday life. It's God talk in all manner of forms. Now let me ask you a question, friends. What would happen in a household or a group who regularly shared their highs and lows, had some engagement or activity or discussion about something in Scripture, and then prayed for each other? If they did that regularly,
What might happen?
You could be surprised. Why might you be surprised? All right, a changing of attitude, a changing of hearts, a recognition of God's goodness, a living in that goodness, an awareness of God's presence and promises. Transformation. Transformation of attitudes, words and actions, and a developing a depth of relationships. Friends, who wouldn't want more of that? So what needs to change in our households for this to happen? At our place, I think we do caring conversations pretty well. But we don't always nail this thing here today. For our place, at our place, it will mean making a bit more intentional space and looking for opportunities to share God talk in all its forms and positively working at it until it becomes just the way we roll, the way we live, part and parcel of everyday life. How about you? Let me encourage you with this quote from Charlotte Rich, who describes the values and benefits. Scripture is a priceless treasure. It is a seed of new life and healthy growth. It is spiritual food that makes you strong and comforts you in days of difficulty. It is the undefeatable weapon Christ used against Satan. God's word will transform your life, revitalize your soul, and bring you into closer fellowship with God. Whew. I don't know. When you hear that, I'm going, I'll have more of that. Well, friends, if you would have more of that, and you would like the Holy Spirit's help to do that, would you please stand together with me and we'll pray together for the Spirit of God to help us in it. So it's an invitation for you to join me in prayer. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, today we stand before you and your throne of grace. And we say sorry that we have not included you in everyday life, in our households or family. Lord, we are sorry that we've not looked for opportunities or made the most of the opportunities you've given us. We are sorry, Lord, we've let the world squeeze us into its mould. Today, Lord, we renounce that mould and break it in the name and by the authority of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray you put in us a new thing where we delight in the good things of God. Lord, that each of us would say in this household or in this household of faith that we would be intentional about mentoring our young ones. Lord, that we would seek opportunities to engage in caring conversations and various forms of God talk in our households, with our families and friends, and among people of our church family. Holy Spirit, help us to share the life and love of Jesus with all. And the people of God said, Amen.